Open up to Isaiah chapter 21, and while you're opening there, I'll give a little brief introduction. I won't tell you the title of my message yet, and we won't read this just yet. I'm here tonight to preach a message of remembrance. This is a Memorial Day weekend. Tomorrow is a day many people will stop and they'll remember those who've gone on before them. Many of us have loved ones that are not with us anymore, and we will stop and remember those folks. And some of us even have members of our family who may have passed away, may have served in the military. And I always take a moment on Memorial Day, and I honor those folks. I thank the Lord for them. I pray, and I thank God for the people He's put in my life that I can remember. Even living or dead, it doesn't matter. I need to remember them. So today is a message of remembrance, but also motivation. Whenever you remember what someone's done for you, you always should be motivated to do as they have done. And so whenever I think of the past, I'm always motivated towards the future. So that's the type of message I'm going to preach tonight. I always feel privileged to stand behind this pulpit in the place of a man who has decades beyond my experience. And I just want to say that. And I hope tonight, by the end of the message, that we ultimately give praise to God, of course, but we appreciate what happens behind this pulpit even more. I think every Sunday that I hear a message, I come away thanking the Lord for what He's done for me and where He's put me in this church. And we should do that every time we hear God's Word open. So I hope that the topic that the Lord has put on my heart, the message that He's given me, I hope that I can deliver it in a way that would be pleasing to Him, but also that we would take it to heart and apply it. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 21. Isaiah 21, I don't know if I told you that or not. We're going to go to verse number 4. Isaiah 21, verse number 4. We'll start reading through verse 8. My heart panteth, fearfulness affrighted me. The night of my pleasure hath he turned into fear unto me. Prepare the table, watch in the watchtower, eat, drink, arise, ye princes, and anoint the shield. For thus hath the Lord God said unto me, Go, set a watchman, let him declare what he seeth. And he saw a chariot with a couple of horsemen, a chariot of asses and a chariot of camels, and he hearkened diligently with much heed, and he cried, A lion! My Lord, I stand continually upon the watchtower in the daytime, and I am set in my ward whole night. Skip down to verse number 11, please, if you will. The burden of Duma, he calleth to me out of Seir. Watchmen, what of the night? Watchmen, what of the night? The title of my message today is Watchmen, what of the night? In honor of Memorial Day, we are going to talk today and see what the Bible has to say about being a watchman. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll start. Lord, thank you for this chance and opportunity to be here behind your pulpit, preaching from your word, and Lord, delivering the message that you have laid upon my heart. Lord, I pray that we would all listen intently. Lord, I pray that you'd fill me with your power, and Lord, I've begged you for it, and I pray that you'd help me to deliver this in the way that you would have me deliver it. Lord, give me clarity of speech and thought and mind. And Lord, help us all to have open ears and hearts receptive to your word tonight. And Lord, I pray that you would be with our pastor as he's away. Give him safety as he travels today and tomorrow. And Lord, give him power tonight as he preaches. In Jesus' name, amen. Here we have a word that you'll probably hear a lot by the end of this sermon. The word is watchman, a watchman. Let's discover what a watchman is. A watchman is somebody, according to Webster's dictionary, that is a sentinel or guard. That's all the definition he gives in his dictionary. But he goes on to define a guard, and I want you to listen to this definition. There's many different ones, but someone who is a guard, somebody who watches, not as a verb, not as a action verb, but somebody, a guard, a person who is a guard, is these things. It is a defense, a preservation or security against injury or loss or attack. A guard is also someone which secures against attack or injury and that which defends. A guard can be a man or a body of men occupied in preserving a person or place from attack or injury. He or they whose business it is to defend or to prevent attack or surprise. I like that definition. That's pretty much the definition of our military. That's their job, a body of men designed to defend our nation against attack or surprise. A guard can be a state of caution or vigilance, or the act of observing what passes in order to prevent surprise or attack, care, attention, watch, and heed. And a guard is also that which secures against the objections or censure, cause of expression. A guard is pretty much somebody who guards. That's what it is. He stops. He's the thing standing in between that which could surprise the person he's guarding. He's the person standing in between the gate and the entry to the city. He's the person standing in between something and the thing that he is guarding. That is what a guard is. The Bible talks all the time about different things we should guard, different people that guard. And so we're going to go into some of that. Psalms 127, verse 1 says, "A song of degrees for Solomon. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain." We're talking tonight about a watchman. What is a watchman? Number one, we need to go to Ezekiel chapter 32. So if you'll go with me there, Ezekiel chapter 32. We're going to read verses 2 through 9. Notice in this passage, we're going to notice some things about what a watchman does. What is it that a watchman does? Is he just someone elected to stay up all night without sleeping? Is he the guy who has third shift? Is he just another soldier? Let's read what a watchman does and the penalties and rewards of being one. Ezekiel 32, verse 2 says, "Son of man, take up a lamentation for Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and say unto him, Thou art like a young lion of the nations, and thou art as a whale in the seas. And thou camest forth with thy rivers, and troublest the waters with thy feet, and foulest the rivers. Thus saith the Lord God, I will therefore spread out my net over thee with a company." Let's make sure this is the right verse. Is it? Oh, okay. All right, awesome. Ezekiel 33, verse 2. Ah, that's it. I wrote down the wrong number. Wrong chapter. Ezekiel 33, verse 2. Same start. "Son of man, speak to the children of thy people, and say unto them, When I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coasts, and set him for their watchman." So here we have a group of people, and they're going to pick one man in their land to be the watchman. Keep reading. "If when he seeth the sword come upon the land, and blow the trumpet, and warn the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet, and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head." If the watchman sounds his trumpet, and you don't listen, and the war comes, and the army comes, and you die because of it, it's your own fault. You were given a warning. That's what it clearly says here. But keep looking on in verse number 5. Verse number 4, actually. "Then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet, and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head." Verse 5. "He heard the sound of the trumpet, and took not warning, his blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul." Verse 6. "But if the watchman see the sword come, and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come, and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand." So the fate of an entire nation rests upon one man, and whether or not he will blow a trumpet, whether or not he will give warning, whether or not he will wake everybody who's sleeping and tell them the enemy's here, and if not, all those people's blood are on his hand. Verse 7 says, "So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore shalt hear the word at my mouth, and warn them from me." So here we have a man selected from a nation of people, and they're supposed to pick him out specifically. Now think of that. Think of the requirements for that. Out of this church, let's just say we were going to camp out here for the night, and we knew there was danger. We couldn't leave the church. There was a threat outside. Maybe a foreign army had invaded Jacksonville, Indiana. I mean, such a territory to conquer. I mean, everybody would want to take over Jacksonville. Well, maybe not. But let's just say they got that far inland and we had to stay into this building. You know, who would we select? What if we had to only pick one? Everybody else had to sleep. Who would you trust to watch all of us in here? I mean, some of you would say, "Nobody, I'm not going to sleep. I'm staying up all night. I wouldn't trust so-and-so and so-and-so." But you know what? That just shows you that the person who's picked to be a watchman is very important. And he's got to have some qualities and characteristics about him. He's got to have the ability to stay awake. He can't be one who gets tired easily. He can't get tired in the middle of a battle. He can't. He can't afford it. Somebody has to stay up and watch for the whole group It happens all throughout history. If you read some of the biggest blunders of history, and I don't have them all written down here for you, but many times an army is overtaken because of what? A watchman not on his post. We think of the Revolutionary War when George Washington on the Christmas Eve surprised the Hessians. Well, where was their watchman? Well, he was probably drunk or sleeping or partying. And that's what happens many times. We get distracted by the things of the world, but it all happened because one man wasn't at his post. And so the watchman is a very important person, someone who needs to be selected with care, somebody who it's important we pick the right one. And here we see, though, in verse 7, God is the one who selects this man to be the watchman. So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore shalt thou hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me. So this man, which is the prophet Ezekiel, is getting a warning from God. He's being anointed by God. God has appointed him to be a watchman. We'll get into some of that later. But here we just want to notice that, you know what? Without a watchman, without a man of character, without a man of principle, and a man of ability in God, from God, the people would die. And all of their blood would be on that man's head. So it's very important that we see God has selected people to be watchmen. So number one, there is an importance in a watchman. Number two, the people who God places as a watchman. Who are those people? Who is the watchman? Who is it who stands guard over us? We can think of our nation, and yes, on Memorial Day, we all the time, a lot of times we honor the military, correct? Because they are set as watchmen over our country. They're part of the system that watches over our country. Those men who fight for our nation. You know what? They keep us safe. They keep the war. You know, we are blessed as a nation that outside of the Revolutionary War and the Civil War, we haven't had any foreign invaders into our country as far as a physical army. Now, we know that today in our country, they've invaded it in a lot of other ways. The devil has invaded our country a long time ago. He's invaded every nation. His goal is to invade anything that is pure, moral, and good, anything that's of God. But truthfully, we've been invaded a long time ago by different ideologies and socialness and welfare and just everything possible. Different forms of, we were scared of communism, and guess what? Socialism crept in, and now we want to give to the rich and steal from the rich and give to the poor. And we've got leaders in our country who are supposed to be watchmen, but we've selected them. I'm really worried about the fact that we've selected some pretty poor watchmen. It's our job as the people to select a watchman. But you know what? Ultimately, God puts people in charge. And God takes people down from charge. And you know what? Sometimes I think God looks at a nation and says, you don't deserve a good watchman. I'll give you this one. We may think he's not worthy or think he's not characteristic enough, but he says, this is about what you deserve. And so he gives us what we deserve. God is the one who sets those things. But God established three places. Three places very important that we realize that all of us, in many ways, are watchmen. We are set by God in a certain area to guard our homes. The three things that God established was the home, the church, and the government. All three things were established by God. Fathers, we're the watchmen of the home. The pastor is the watchman of the church. The government as a group, no one man, but the group of government, the institution of government, is the watchman of a nation. So we have three areas that many different people fall under, but specifically, fathers are the watchmen of the home. The pastor is the watchman of the church. The government is the watchman of a nation, or the king in many cases, in the biblical times. But now we deal with a group of people. Others are in these groups. Listen to this list. Mother, you're the watchman over your home when the dad's not there. You're the watchman over your children. Sunday school teacher, you're the watchman over your Sunday school class. Teacher, you're the watchman at school. Bus driver, you need to watch over the safety of your bus. A bus captain, you're the watchman while you're on that bus of those young people. Older brothers, you're the watchman over your little brothers. Older sisters, you're a watchman over your little sisters. Employers, you're the watchman over those who you employ. Blessed Hope Baptist Church members, we are assigned by God to watch and guard this church from corruption, from sin, from the devil. We are assigned that by the Word of God. Hey, guess what? Each and every one of you is a watchman over your body. There's no one else who can watch over you and what you do. And God, of course, watches over all of us. He is the one, and we're going to see that very clearly. But you know what? He gives a sign and a piece of responsibility to everybody in this room. I have a responsibility to take care of me. and it doesn't look like I'm doing a good job of it over here, but I have a job to take care of myself. I'm the only one who can, the Bible talks about guarding our eyes and guarding our ears. I'm the only one who can do that. You can't guard my eyes for me. You can help. You can't guard my ears for me. Ultimately, I make that decision. And so do you. We are all set as watchmen before God. We've all been given certain areas of responsibility that we are supposed to be cared for, that we're supposed to guard. And guess what? The bigger that responsibility is, the more people under that, the more their blood or their failures are under your fault or your control. Hey, fathers, if you've allowed things to come into your house and your children fail someday, of course they're the ultimate decider of their own. They are supposed to guard themselves, but there's a measure of that goes to each of us. There's a measure, the Bible talks about the pastor, we're going to see in a second here, that he give his account with joy instead of grief. He has a charge over this church, and he answers to God for it. And so it is amazing responsibility that comes from being a watchman. Let's look at some of the areas. I want you to flip in your Bible a little bit here. We're going to look down in the Word of God. Instead of me saying, you're a watchman and this is your responsibility, let's see what God has to say about that. Go to Nehemiah chapter 7. Nehemiah chapter 7, verse 3. Nehemiah 7, 3. We won't turn to all of these. We'll turn to some of them. Nehemiah 7, 3. And the Lord said unto them, let not the gates of Jerusalem be opened until the sun be hot. And while they stand by, let them shut the doors and bar them, and appoint watches of the inhabitants of Jerusalem, every one in his watch, and every one to be over against his house. Here Nehemiah is being threatened by the wiles of Sanballat and Tobiah, the people who want to stop him from building the wall. And what does he say? Does he say, I want one guy to go out and watch the walls? No, the walls aren't built yet. Nothing's completed yet. And he does at one point have them working. Remember that spot where it's almost like they're digging and working with a sword at the same time. There's people there ready to fight if they get attacked. But here it's nighttime. They're not working anymore. And you know what he says? He says, hey, look, go bar the door. Shut the door. Go to your house. And notice what he says. Everyone in his watch and everyone to be over against his house. That shows me that, hey, fathers, you should be in charge of your house. You should be a watchman over your house. I've recently become a father, obviously. My son is 6 months old. A lot of that becomes more meaningful to me. The more he grows and the more I realize that, hey, look, if I look at him, I realize, hey, his life right now, he can't make his own decisions. He's 6 months old. But my charge as a father is to take care of him. I'm supposed to be a watchman over him. We all have an area, a place, something that we're supposed to watch over. And God clearly states here that through Nehemiah that, hey, everybody is supposed to go home. Watch over your house. Take care of it. Don't let the intruder in. And there's definitely a spiritual application there. Look at Nehemiah 4:9 now that we're in Nehemiah. Nehemiah 4:9. It says, nevertheless, we made our prayer unto God. So notice they start their watching with a prayer unto God. And set a watch against them day and night because of them. Hey, folks, it's vain to watch by yourself. That verse we read earlier, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, what happens? The watchman waketh but in vain. Father, mother, church member, pastor, if we do these type of things, if we get up acting like we're going to defend our household without asking God for his help first, we wake in vain. We can't stop what's going to happen if we don't ask God first. He knows. And God knows the enemy before we even know it. I think all the time of self-defense. You know, a lot of people, there's people all over the world, unsaved folks, who they're up to their ears in guns. And I like guns, amen. But you know what? They've got booby traps set around their house for the apocalypse. And, they've got everything. They've decked their whole, you couldn't walk on their property without, potential death or dismemberment or something. But you know what? It's not going to do them any good, is it? If they're not saved and God wants something to come into that house, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. And they've not offered their praise and honor to God. They've not asked him for his help. So you know what? No matter how much we can do as a man, as men, to secure ourselves and our household, and it's good to take precautions. I'm not saying we shouldn't. Please don't put booby traps in your yard, though. if I come over to people's house, I do want to be able to walk up and knock on their door and stuff like that. So I've seen some houses out visiting, and it's kind of, you're wondering whether or not you should really drive up the driveway. You ever been to one of those? It's kind of like they got a long, you know, mile and a half driveway, and it looks like one of those guys, you know, when they have the nuclear, you know, fallout signs and everything around their house. And you're wondering, man, should I go up into this guy's house, or am I going to get, you know, booby-trapped or whatever? I don't know. But you know what? We can't do it without God's help. We can't. That's what Nehemiah is saying here. Listen for me, if you will. We're not going to turn all of these. Acts 20:31 says, "Therefore watch and remember," two key words, "that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears." Paul says here, I want you to remember that every night I stood up in this pulpit and I preached and warned everybody. Here he is telling about the warning. 1 Corinthians 16:13 says, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men, be strong." Well, there's an admonition on the other side. I said don't go, don't get all that booby trapping and protection without God's help. But you know what? God does say right there, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. So just because, you know, I don't want to arm my house with booby traps and everything else to protect my house, I do need to quit like a man, I need to be strong. If the world's going to come in my house, they're not going to take it without a fight. And that ought to be the prayer of every mother and every father and every son, every Sunday school teacher. You know what? The devil is going to enter your Sunday school class one day. The devil is going to send a little carnal, backslidden young person in your Sunday school class. Are you prepared to... There's obviously somebody this morning who was like that. Two people laughing over here. Are you prepared for that, though? Are you going to quit? Are you just going to give up on that young person? The devil's going to send those things into your life. Preacher was talking about it the other day, how the devil comes in the church every Sunday. The spiritual activity of a church. Hey, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men. Be strong. That's a good reminder for us young us watchmen as we stand for our houses. 1 Thessalonians 5:6 says, "Therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober." So don't drink, amen? No drinking at all. Be sober. 2 Timothy 4:5, "But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry." Hebrews 13:7, "Obey them that have rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable to you." That right there is talking about our job as a pastor. And we're not pastors in here. Pastor is our pastor. Pastor Jerry Ross, he answers to that verse right there. He said it the other day. Hey, look, he gives account for how our church behaves. He gives account for us, our actions, the way we behave in this sanctuary, the way we as a church body respond to his sermons. He gives account to that for God. It's his job as a watchman to go before the Lord in prayer and say, "Lord, please be with my church body. Please help me as I deliver the messages to the congregation." That's his job. He's a watchman, anointed by God, put in this assembly to keep us right and to protect us against what the devil wants to do in our lives. So Hebrews 13:17, mark that down if you have not. 1 Peter 4:7, "But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer." So here we see all these admonitions, and I don't want to get distracted here, but we see all these admonitions of how we're supposed to watch. A few weeks ago, I think two times ago that I preached or something like that, I preached that message about watching and waiting for the coming of Christ. And that's a good reminder, folks, is we should be watching. We should always be vigilant. The definition of a watchman is somebody who's vigilant and awake and not sleeping. Here it says don't slumber, okay? Don't be sober and be vigilant. Stand in the faith. Stand in prayer. All these things have to do with a watchman. And if we've clearly seen that, hey, every one of you in here have some area that you're supposed to guard. You have some area that you're supposed to be in charge of. And here it says, "The end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer." So we've seen, number one, the importance of a watchman. Number two, the people who God uses to guard and to watch over different areas in our life. Number three, we can see that God himself is our watchman. And that is a blessing. As a Christian, that's something the world doesn't have. And I'm excited to say that God is my watchman. Psalms 143 says, "Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips." Hey, young people, older people, everybody in here, if you have a problem watching over your body, right here, the psalmist says he asked God to do it for him. Does that mean that God controls everything you say? No, you still decide what you say, and you still decide what comes out of your mouth. But you know what he does? He stops, and he knows he can't handle it by himself. And you know what he says? Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. We could change that verse and apply it to everything. Lord, set a watch over my hands. Keep my fingers from doing things they shouldn't. Lord, set a watch over my ears and keep my ears from listening to things I shouldn't. Keep a watch over my eyes and keep my eyes from looking at things they shouldn't. Keep a watch over my feet, O Lord, and keep them from going places they shouldn't. Oftentimes we neglect that simple song that says, oh, be careful, little hands, what you do. Oh, be careful, little hands, what you do. For the Father up above is looking down in love. Oh, be careful, little hands, what you do. And we sing that to young people all the time. But the truth is, it applies more to us as adults. It does. You know, young people have so many other watchmen in their life, their parents and their pastor. But you know what? The more independent you get, the more it's your job to watch over yourself and your job to young teens. It's your job to control what goes in and out of your eyes. Hey, it's your job, ladies, to control what goes in and out of your ears. You say, but my parents, they're in charge of what I listen to and what I watch, and they control all of that stuff. Yeah, they do. Yeah, they do, but not when you're by yourself. Not when you sneak out and go to your car and turn on the radio. Or nowadays, forget the radio. You sneak out to the car and you get that iPod that you listen to all good music on, and you put it in your ear, and nobody can hear what you're listening to. Nobody. Only you can, and God. So it's very important that we do and we obey that verse. Be careful, little eyes. Be careful, little ears. Be careful, little hands, what you do. And the psalmist here, he knows he can't handle it. What does he do? He asks God to set a watch on his thing. Wouldn't that be an amazing thing if we could just report to God everything we did without having to have him look down and see it? You know, God sees everything we do. But you know what? If we get in a habit of doing certain things, and every day at the end of the day I say, Lord, hey, I did this today and this today and this today and this today. You say, wouldn't that get old? Wouldn't that get redundant? Yeah, but you'd certainly get rid of the sin that you got in your life if every day you have to sit off and list, you know, 5 or 6 things that we've done wrong. You know, at some point, if you do that every day and pray to God and tell him those things, you know, the Bible says, casting all your care upon him, right? For he careth for you. I'd rather tell all my sins to God than keep them inside. I'd rather have God set a watch on my body than to try to do it myself and fail. So we are to be watchmen over our own body. God watches over us, and that's a good thing. Job 14:16, For now thou numberest my steps. Dost thou not watch over my sin? Jeremiah 44:27, Behold, I will watch them for evil and not for good. Now this is God talking here. God looks down at certain people and he says, I'm going to watch over them for evil and not for good. A wicked people, a wicked nation. He was talking about Israel here who had backslidden. He said, I'm going to watch them. I'll watch over them, but I'm not watching over them for good. I'm watching over them for evil. And all the men of Judah that are in the land of Egypt shall be consumed by the sword and by the famine until there be an end of them. And Jeremiah 31:28 says, And it shall come to pass, now this is encouraging, that like as I have watched over them to pluck them up and to break down and to throw down and to destroy and to afflict, this is God talking, so will I watch over them to build and to plant, saith the Lord. Do you get that? The same way God looks over some people, a group of a church maybe, a nation maybe, and God says here, it shall come to pass that like as I have watched over them, so I watched over them here so that I could pluck them up and break them down and throw them down and destroy and afflict, so I will watch over them to build and to plant, saith the Lord. Hey, I want to be the church that God's watching over so that he can build us and plant us. That's what I want to be. Hey, and I think so that's what's happening here at Blessed Hope. I've not been here less than a year. And I can tell already that God watches over this church so he can build it and so he can plant it. You know how I know that? A brother Riser is going out to plant a church this fall. And God's watching over this body right here. God's watching over this church right here so that he can build us and plant us. But is he doing that for you? Is he doing that for you? Or are you one of those people who says, you know, it's been a while since I've built anything for God. It's been a while since I've planted another seed in a person's heart of salvation. If that's you, then you need to take account of yourself. You may be in a church that's building and planting, but is God watching over you so he can build with you and plant with you? Or is he watching over you so he can pluck this out of you and break this out of you and tear this out of you and all that kind of stuff? I hope that we're all on the side that's building and planting. So it's important to know that we all have a job as a watchman. God watches everything. He sees us. He sees everything we do. He sees everything we are. But you know what? There are three jobs that we need to realize as a watchman that we have. So let's all think of this here. Think of the area that you are a watchman in. Men, if you have more than one area, think of all of them at once. Think of the area of a father, the area of a Sunday school teacher, the area of an employer, maybe a worker. Young men, the area of a student when you go to school, the area some of you have as an older brother. You know what? I wish that I had taken that responsibility even more so as a young man. A lot of times we can look back and we can say, well, I wish I had done this. But you know what? Three jobs as a watchman. The watchman needs to, number one, be in his place. Be in his place. Now, this applies to everybody. Everybody in here is a watchman. Hey, we need to be in our place. Have we all failed in that area? Yes. Have we all failed before in that area? Yes. But you know what? The good watchman, he determines he's not going to do that again. You know, he may have a night of slumber, and he realizes he did, and he said, oh man, you know what? I slept last night. And the enemy didn't come, but you know what? What if they had? And it comes to his mind that he had all those people's blood on his hands. So you know what he does? He fixes it. And he goes out, and he's in his place. Acts 20:31 says, therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not. This watchman didn't stop for 3 years. I ceased not to warn everyone every night and day with tears. So you know what this person did? Paul did. Every night and day, he prayed for those people and he watched over them. And he ceased not to do it. He didn't stop. So number one, the watchman was in his place. Number two, the watchman is vigilant. There's that verse in the Bible that says, behold, your adversary the devil walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. If I as a father aren't vigilant, he's going to get my son. If I as a Sunday school teacher am not vigilant, he's going to get my class. If I as the junior church leader, he's going to get the junior church. If I as this Christian school teacher don't watch over that school while I am there, he's going to get a hold of those young people. If you as a father, if we as a church don't watch, he'll get hold of our church too. And it's very important. So number one, we need to be in our place. Number two, let's be vigilant. Number three, our job is to reassure the concerned. Go back to Isaiah chapter 32, or I'm sorry, chapter 20. 20 and 21. Isaiah 21. Look at verse 11. We'll read this, 11 and 12. We're almost done here. Isaiah 21, verses 11 and 12. The burden of Duma, he calleth to me out of Seir. Watchmen, what of the night? Watchmen, what of the night? You notice that there? The watchman's not saying that. Somebody's asking the watchman a question. They're saying, hey, watchman, what's going on out there? Are we safe? Hey, dad, is everything okay? Hey, pastor, are we going to be okay? Is everything okay out there? Are we safe? All the time you get certain questions. But notice the phrase of the question, watchman, what of the night? If you take that question, there are three groups of people that could be asking that question. Think about it now. There are, number one, the careless people. What of the night? Who cares? It's just, you know, nobody's going to attack us. Watchman, what of the night? Who cares? They're careless. They don't care. Now, apply this to yourself, because sometimes we think of our watchmen and we take them for granted. And we think of the people that watch and care for us, and we just, hey, they could care less, you know? Well, what of it? You know, parents, it happens. You may have young people, teachers. You're concerned about a student. You're concerned about your child, and you've watched over them. You've labored them. You know what? Sometimes their response is, I don't care. I'm going to do my own thing. I don't care. I'm going to do what I want. Regardless of what the watchman says, regardless of what the Lord has said, regardless of what the pastor says, you know what our response as carnal Christians is? I don't care. It's okay. I can do without that. I don't have to heed that warning. That doesn't apply to me. Who cares? Watchman, what of the night? I'm just going to go into the night anyway. That's what happens to many young people. And you know what happens? They don't come out. They stay out there. And the devil takes them. But sometimes they come back. And you know what usually happens when they come back? They have a greater appreciation for the watchman. The person who stood up and warned them about what was out there. And they went out and they came back. And you know what? They're scarred from it. But you know what they have? A greater appreciation for the watchman. So that's the first type of person that's asking this question. The second person is the sarcastic person. The person that's still going to stay. They're not going to go out into the night. They're not going to leave into the world. But you know what they're going to do? They're going to do everything they can to kind of belittle what the watchman is saying. They're going to stay in church. They'll be here. But you know what? They're sarcastic. There's really no problems out there. There's nothing happening. You know, the devil's not really walking about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. There's really no consequence to this sin. We can sing that way in church and it won't matter. We can dress this way in church and it won't matter. We can act this way. We can break this rule and it won't matter. So the watchman stands up and he sets things down and he takes what God says and what God gives him. And there's the careless person who goes out and ruins their life. Then there's the sarcastic person who everything the watchman says, he mimics and he makes fun of and he belittles. Let's not be either one of those two people. But you know what? Dads, moms, teachers, pastors, servants, and leaders, there's a third person that asks this question, and they are the sincere and concerned person. You know what the watchman's job is? To reassure that person that everything is okay. You know why? God's in charge. You know what? Sometimes, think of it, sometimes we, as little children in God's eyes, go to God and we say, Lord, is everything going to be okay? Lord, I don't understand this. I'm scared. You know what God can look down and say? It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. It's going to be all right. I'm watching over you. Hey, parents, your child is going to come and they're going to say, is everything going to be okay, Dad? You know what I can say? Son, it is. It's going to be okay. Hey, parents, teachers, your students may not know what to do. They may have a problem or, pastor, church members, we may have a problem. We come to pastor and we say, look, pastor, what can I do about this? What can I do about this situation? And you know what he does? He looks at the Bible, and if he's the proper type of watchman, which we have one here in our church, and he looks at you and he says, according to God's word, everything's going to be okay. You know what sometimes a watchman has to do, though? According to what you're doing right now, it's not going to be okay. But if you change it, it'll be fine, and you'll be fine. And God can take care of you. That's the job of a watchman. So three people ask it, the careless people. And they go out and they ruin their life. They may come back, but there's no guarantee. There's a sarcastic person. And the truth is, that's probably the worst kind. Because they never really get out of, it's hard to get out of that loop. If you're the careless person, they go out and they realize the night is not the place to be. But if you're the sarcastic person, it means you're hiding here in the walls of the church. You're hiding here by the watchman. You're standing there, listening to what he's saying. And the truth is, it's hard to get out of that. Because all of a sudden you have this attitude against the watchman in your life, whether it be your parents, your teacher, your pastor, I don't know. But you get an attitude against them, and all of a sudden it's hard to get out of that attitude. It's very hard to take care of the sarcastic person. But then there's the sincere person, the person who really wants to know. Watchman, what of that night? Notice in verse 12, the watchman said, here's the watchman's response, the morning cometh. So he gives a message of hope. And also the night, if ye will inquire, inquire ye, return, come. What does that mean when he says, if ye will inquire, inquire ye, return, come? You know what the watchman looks at the little boy and says? He says, son, everything's okay right now. But if you ever want to come back and ask me if everything's okay, you leave and come back again, and I'll tell you whether it's all right. He says, you know what? You can have faith in me, but I don't mind if you come back and ask me again. You know, the Lord does that so many times to us. We ask God, why is this happening? You know what? He may give us an answer, but a week later, I'm probably going to come back to him and say, Lord, I still don't understand. You know what he's going to say? It'll be all right. Go your way. I'm watching over you. But if you ever need to come back and ask me anything again, you can. And that's what he does. And that's the job of a true watchman. As parents, we need to take that to heart. My son's not to the talking stage yet, but I'm sure he will be soon. And he'll probably ask me a million and one questions. You know what? Don't get tired of answering those questions. Just don't, because you know what? It's reassurance for those young people saying, son, it's going to be okay. A watchman's in his place. A watchman is vigilant. A watchman reassures those people who need reassured. And last but not least, a watchman should be loud and clear in his warnings to the people. A watchman who has a little kazoo isn't going to wake a city. But a watchman who has a trumpet is going to wake that city. He's not going to pick the wrong instrument. He's going to make sure his instrument is oiled and ready to go, and it's loud. He's going to test it every once in a while during the daytime when the watching isn't needed, and he's going to make sure that he is ready to give the warning. You know, a pastor, he's going to prepare his sermons so that he can give the warnings right. A teacher is going to be ready to teach so that they can give the warnings right. A parent is going to be ready with the right answer and to help their child because they want to help that young person. A teacher should be ready. A Sunday school teacher, a bus driver should be ready to drive the bus. We need to be ready. We need to be vigilant to give a loud warning. Last, and we'll close. God has placed us on this earth to guard, protect, and watch over all of His creation in some way or another. No matter your age or position, He has a spot for you to guard and protect. We stand this summer, we should, and guard our family. We should stand this summer and protect our church, stand for our church. Soul win for our church. We shouldn't sit idly by and watch the devil take our nation. We shouldn't. Can we do anything to save it? You know what? I may not have the power. God still knows what His plan is for our nation, but I can't stand idly by and watch it get ruined. So we ought to stand up, protect our family, protect our church, protect our nation. You know what else we should do? We should not ignore and neglect our post, our watchman's post as Christians, to watch over the souls of thousands of dying people who are going to hell if we don't tell them the warning that God has given us in His Word. That's the most important job for every Christian. We're supposed to be. We will give account to every person, to God, for every person that walked by us and we didn't witness to. We'll give account for that person. God will look at us, or they'll look at us at the judgment seat of Christ. I'm not sure which way it works. But you know what? Somebody's going to look at us, and can you imagine somebody dying and not being saved? And they have to look at you and say, why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you blow that trumpet just a little bit louder? I know you're tired. I know you're tired of blowing it. I know you're tired of saying the same thing over and over. Can you imagine that watchman? How many people asked him, is everything okay? Is everything okay? You know what? He didn't get tired of it. A good watchman doesn't get tired of standing up and proclaiming the message of Jesus Christ. Folks, we have areas. We have areas we need to watch over. Are your areas being watched over like a true watchman should? Are you vigilant? Are you in your place? Are you blowing that trumpet loud and clear in your area that God has put you as a watchman? This message was for me tonight. This message God gave me and convicted me and said, you know what, Roger Young, you have an area here and an area here and an area here, and I want you to not quit. I want you to blow that trumpet as loud as you can. Fathers, are we blowing the trumpet like we should in our home? Mothers, are we blowing the trumpet for our children? Teachers, are you blowing the trumpet for your students? Sunday school teachers, bus drivers, pastors, soul winners, your own personal life, are you being the right type of watchman and blowing the trumpet for the Lord? Let's pray. Father, help us to take this message to heart. Lord, I know that many people could have delivered the same message in a more eloquent and more, Lord, easy to understand fashion. But God, I want to be the right type of watchman over what You've placed me in charge of. Lord, we need to all leave here and blow the trumpet of salvation to the lost and dying world. Guard our homes, guard our church, and guard our nation. Lord, watch over us now. Protect us as we go home this evening. In Jesus' name, amen.